So we'll launch right in. Dr. Donna Peterson not only chairs the ASPPH Education Committee and the National Framing the Future Task Force, but she also was a member of the Framing the Future MPH Expert Panel that issued major recommendations on the new MPH degree of the 21st century. Dr. Peterson will address how CEPH accredited schools and programs collaborated via the task force and the panel to recommend changes, hitting upon both design and content of the MPH degree that makes for more able graduates ready to succeed in today's workforce. Let's welcome Dr. Peterson to the podium.
Thank you, Liz. Always so gracious. It's great to be here. Thanks for coming to this session, and I'm delighted to share with you where we are with the Framing the Future Task Force, and in particular, some of the findings of the MPH Expert Panel and where we think we're going. If you haven't picked up a fan in the back, this is the teaser for the final product of the task force. So if you haven't grabbed one, please do. So why did we create this task force in the first place? And I'm sure all of you have read the Welsh Rose Report of 1915. You probably keep it next to your bed so you can refer to it at night, you know. Right? No? If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's not very long. But this report laid out the blueprint for schools of public health in this country. And when we started thinking about where we were going with the Education Committee of ASPPH, we noted that the calendar, we were quickly approaching 2015, and that it might be a nice opportunity to reframe education for our field for the next 100 years. So that's why we launched this task force. The task force is actually quite large. I think we're up to 54 members, 56 members, and it keeps growing as people have expressed interest. We've said, sure, you may join this effort, but that means it's too big to actually do any work. So we meet and we have great heady discussions and we think about where we want to go, and then we form expert panels, which are more focused, smaller, tight groups that can then dive deep into each of the issues that we have chosen to address. So we have had six expert panels formed over the past 3 years. We actually created this task force 3 years ago. We also put together a blue ribbon employer advisory group, and we did that because even though the task force is very, very large and it includes folks from accredited schools and programs, from the undergrad world, from the practice world, from the other health professions, when you think about where public health graduates go, they go everywhere. And we wanted to be able to reflect or at least hear from the people who employ our students without making the task force hundreds of people large. So that expert panel has been extremely helpful to us. They've not ever met, but we've spoken to each of them, and they review all of the reports that the expert panels produce before they are approved. So we started at the undergrad level first. We formed that expert panel. That report was issued in 2012 and is making change happen. We then moved to the community college, because when you get into the undergraduate world, you quickly learn that you need to be in the two-year world. That report was just released. We then tackled the MPH, and I admit we were a little scared, because the MPH is what we are. It's what we do. It's what pays the bills. It's what we are most known for. But we knew we needed to address the MPH for the future. Just quickly beyond that, then we tackled the DRPH. That report was also just issued, and then we have two panels that are still completing their work. One on what we call population health in all professions, and that really is an effort to look at both the curricula in public health programs, but also all the other professional programs that impact the health of the public. What do our students need to know about those other professions, and what might those other professions gain from knowing more about public health, in the spirit of if more of us understood public health, we might have healthier communities. So why update the MPH degree? Even when we started, people said, well, there's nothing wrong with the MPH. It's not broken, right? You've heard that. If it's not broken, it doesn't need to be fixed. And we said, well, maybe it's not broken, but things are certainly changing around it. Things have certainly changed since the Welsh Rose Report was issued, and we know that there have been changes over that time period. So we see, as I said, our MPH graduates go everywhere, which is good, but that means that's challenging for us to make sure we are preparing them for that array of potential career paths. As the undergraduate movement took hold, and it actually kind of took hold without us even really being aware that it was happening, and we kind of tripped over the fact that there were undergraduate degrees popping up, which is partly what led to the task force being created at all, because we said, well, if that's going to happen, ASPPH ought to be a part of that conversation and perhaps ought to maybe shape where that's going, because it has implications for us at the master's level if more and more of these students come to us with that degree. That's a new phenomenon. So we needed to think that through. The student body has changed. So if you read the Welsh Rose Report, which you all have, you know that when that report was written, the idea was to take MDs and train them in public health so that they could be health officers. And that's still a good thing for us to do, but our student body has changed dramatically. They are younger, they come from different backgrounds, they come from all different parts of our nation, and increasingly from other nations. The other thing that was happening at the same time was this growth in the idea that we should be doing more interprofessional education across health. So in the effort to build high-quality, high-functioning teams, how did public health fit in there? And were there implications for the curricula on our end? And then with the Affordable Care Act and the new phrase that's on everyone's lips now, everyone thinks they know what population health is, we're still trying to sort out, what is that? Is it not public health? Is it different from public health? And when they say population health, do they mean public health? Do they mean, you know, so that's kind of been a challenge for us as well. And then increasingly in the higher ed world, we're all being asked to be more outcomes driven. It's not enough to say you took 40 hours and you got a 3.4 GPA. We need to know what you're able to do, what you know, what you're capable of, what you're competent in. And that's the sort of push from there. And then the related issue then is how do we continue to improve the quality of what we produce and how students learn and how they then practice. So the expert panel was formed, and we asked them to do a simple thing: reconsider the design and the rationale for the MPH degree. And I will tell you, the task force actually had a lengthy discussion at one of our earlier meetings about if we should even continue to have the MPH degree. If you have all these undergraduate degrees, if you're looking at more sort of interprofessional, if you could put public health, population health in other degree programs, if we did everything everybody wanted in the MPH, it becomes the DRPH, maybe it's time. And a lot of the other health professions have moved in that way. But after a lot of discussion, we even made up a song. Imagine there's no masters, and we would say, we actually, I don't know if we took a break or we had more coffee, we said, wait, that's ridiculous, we have to have the MPH degree. So we said, yes, we have to have the MPH, and so we asked this panel to rethink the MPH. So that panel was approved 2 years ago now. Bob Meenan, God bless him, he agreed. It took me 3 phone calls, but he finally agreed to chair this panel. I needed the right person in this job. It had to be someone with a lot of stature in our community, who was thoughtful. He was on the task force, and he had some opinions about this, but that's fine because that's how the conversation takes place. We ended up with a good panel, 18 folks, again from schools and programs and the practice community, to help us think through this. This panel was slightly smaller than some of the other ones because we knew everybody would review what we said. We met 10 times, not all in person. We had conference calls. We met twice, I think, in person. And then those recommendations were scattered far and wide. We got lots and lots of feedback. We modified the report, and we came up with a report that had three elements. And the first was what we called key considerations, so sort of statements that framed where we thought the MPH should be. We then came up with what we called design features. And we actually debated why we needed to do that, but in hindsight, it was good to distinguish sort of the design and the structure of the degree from the content, and then we addressed content. There's a few copies of the report in the back. If you haven't seen it, you could take a look at it. It's also on the web. So these were framing statements, and it was the best thought of a group of people at a point in time. And I say that because I want people to not get exercised about this, but to realize the whole framing the task force effort is just that. It is the result of 3 years' worth of conversations, thoughtful people around a table coming up with what they think is the best strategy, but it's up to all of us to then live that and transform and grow and create as we see the future holds. So a couple things that the future holds from this group. They said very clearly that we need to distinguish the MPH from the BSPH and the DRPH, because that's just a fact. It's not that we all just have the MPH and a few people have a doctoral degree. That's not the case anymore. More and more of us have the DRPH degree. The DRPH group, and again, that report was just issued. You can look at that. Was very clear that we need to much more deliberatively distinguish the DRPH from PhD degrees. The DRPH is the Advanced Leadership and Practice degree for our field. The BSPH now is emerging as the entry-level degree, which places the MPH at a midpoint. It becomes an advanced degree, not the advanced degree. That's not to say that we won't continue, as we always have, admitting students to our MPH degrees from all over the place. The 21-year-old graduate with big eyes, the mid-career professional. I don't see that changing, but we are increasingly seeing more people come in with the BSPH. So we also said that in light of that it was important for the MPH degree to be a truly professional degree and to have enough depth in the concentration area that graduates with an MPH degree are clearly defined as something. So if you have an MPH in environmental health, you need to have enough depth in that area to really go and do environmental health. And that was an interesting conversation that I think it was sort of hard for some of us to admit that even, you know, either in our own programs or programs we had seen, well, it was sort of you got an MPH, you took the core, you took a couple classes here, a couple classes there, and students were sort of identifying themselves as something that maybe we wouldn't have the confidence around that. But we also said very clearly that despite this emphasis, we thought of a renewed emphasis on a concentration, that needed to rest on a strong core, a strong foundational core that was based on well-recognized from the field professional skills. So the committee recommended that how we teach the core now in those five core areas really didn't serve us well, that we were not actually promoting a good set of professional skills, a good base of knowledge and understanding about public health, that in too many cases our students were taking those classes near the end of their degree program, that it should be up front, it should be very clear, and that core then, with the depth placed on top of it, we thought would promote a stronger degree. We also said very clearly that we wanted schools and programs to have the flexibility to create MPH concentrations in the areas that made sense to them, where they had strength among in their school and program, where their community had well-defined needs, and where their students had interest. So if you start from the logic of, well, if we don't need to teach those five core courses anymore, then why do we need to offer the MPH in those five core areas, which CEF has been on all of these panels. And they've said, yeah, that's probably not the best way to go anymore. Well, what if we just opened our minds to say, let's create MPH degrees in areas that make sense for us and for the future. So, again, CEF is looking at new criteria because we're on the cycle. We do this every 5 years. I say we because I'm on the council. And they are looking at this report. If you know, they took the undergraduate report almost in its entirety and plopped it into the criteria for those degree programs. So they are actively engaged in this. But even with that happening, people aren't being held back. They aren't going to wait. People are already transforming curricula around the country. We're seeing new core curricula be designed. We're seeing new concentrations being formed. We're seeing people thinking creatively, thoughtfully, in truly transformative ways. And so it's been a real pleasure to watch this happen. So what's next? The report, as I said, the expert panel reports, as they are issued, are placed on our website. They are widely distributed. The whole task force report is being compiled now. I'll talk about that in a moment. We are doing some programs on the web around each of these. The first one is on the MPH next Friday, and encourage you to join that. What I didn't say at the beginning is when we started this, I said, you know what, we need to, this can't just be a task force working in a closed room. This has to be a conversation that we all have. And so I offered to go anywhere anyone would invite me. Give me a room, a microphone, and I will talk, and I will hear what people have to say. So I've done a series of town halls around the country, 30-ish. I forget. I've lost track. More than that? I don't know. But anyway, and I'm not done. So when I started at the beginning, I would do these town halls, and it was really an open forum. Tell me what you think the task force should be thinking about. What should we be working on? Now I go out, and I say, well, here's what we've accomplished. What are you going to do with this? Well, what does the future hold for us? I just did one last week. I'm doing one December 1st. I'm doing another one in December. So I'm still available if you want me to come and have that conversation, because it really is about the conversation. The task force report, as I said, is being prepared, and the annual meeting of ASPPH, which used to be affiliated with this meeting, is now for the first time going to be its own meeting in March, is around this whole idea of how we frame the future. So the report actually is not going to be a report in the traditional sense. I'm not writing a report. I'm not going to put it on paper. It's going to live on the web, which is where it's easier to find and easier for people to access. You will see, if you look at this, there are 9 components to the report. They include the 6 expert panel reports and then 3 areas that the task force spent a lot of time talking about but didn't either have the time or the inclination at that time to form an expert panel, but those are still things that we think need to be addressed, like K-12. So the 9 icons will lead you to the source material that we use, the reports if there is a report, ideas for the future. Here it is, our little takeaway, because people like to have something in their hands, and we thought a fan was a nice thing to have. And that's where we are. We are excited about the changes that are taking place. We're excited about the enthusiasm with which people have greeted this report. We had a little bit of there's been controversy in all of these reports, but that's fine because that's what this is about. So as Liz said, I can take a quick question if anyone's got a burning question. Otherwise, we'll wait till the end. Yes. So we've had practitioners who are employers on every one of these panels. We've had that employer task force that responds to all of this and tells us what they think. Within our schools and programs, I think all of us have some kind of advisory board that helps us with that. As we place students out in the field, we learn in that way what employers may need. And I think all of us are engaged. Even before any of this, we've been engaged in continuous quality improvement, you know, trying to make sure that our curriculum meet the needs of the workforce. And that can be challenging because, as I said, the workforce is very, very large. It's almost non-ending. The task force actually spent a lot of time at one meeting talking about what public health is. And I remember a friend of mine said, well, I think it's everything but war. and then I said, well, but when there is war, we're there. And we said, yeah, okay. So it is challenging, but I think it is our responsibility to have those conversations in an ongoing fashion, not just when your accreditation cycle is up, but to have those conversations. And this effort, the whole task force effort, has linked those from the very beginning. Yes, sir? Do I have another minute? Do I have 1 minute?
You wouldn't mind, yeah, if you passed a minute. You wouldn't mind holding this here.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hold those thoughts, though. Thank you.